Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Rad Gontos, where are you? Rad Gontos, I don't see you. Oh, Rad Gontos, he's not here. There's a big shock to anybody who's tuned into the show on a regular basis here. Rod's running a little late today here. But we have sitting in for us, slightly off camera there, on her phone. Let's move the camera over just a bit. We'll do it in live motion here. It's Deb. Hey, Deb.
Deborah's in the house. There. Sorry, I was posting the show.
Deborah's in the house. Our show producer here is going to sit in for Rod and help us launch our guest. Why don't you introduce our guest here today and give us a little background on who she is.
Today we have Shelly Howard with the College Ready Plan. She's an amazing author and leader that inspires youth to go to college, and not worry about the costs. And she's going to tell you all about her story.
Not worry about the cost. Don't go to college. Not worry about the cost. What is she on drugs? Is she smoking something here today? No, actually, I'm going to support you. So many times people start and say, "Oh, an amazing guest, amazing this." I'm like, "Yeah, right, okay." I've heard Shelly speak before. She was on one of our earlier programs here a few months ago, with Doug Gefeller, talking about the coaching perspective. And today we're going to give us her perspective as a mother who, as I understand, was simultaneously trying to send her kid to school and going through a divorce. And out of that, mastered some skills that she's now turned into a business and a book and other things on how you, too, can send your kid to school and not lose your mind. Welcome, Shelly.
Thank you so much.
What, is all of that true? Tell us the story. Give us the, for those who didn't hear the other show here, give us your incredible, inspirational, insane tale here of trying to get into college and go through a divorce at the same time.
Absolutely. My story actually starts a little bit further back. When I grew up, I went to Laguna Beach High School, which is a very small Orange County public school, graduating class of about 200 students. And at that time, we did not have counseling support. Unfortunately, neither of my parents had gone to college, and they were not sure how to help me with the process. So
you were on your own.
I was on my own, and it was very scary. I did know that I wanted to go to college, but I had no idea what I wanted to do there. And so I applied to two schools. I applied to San Diego State and University of Colorado. Did not have to take an SAT or an ACT.
Oh my goodness.
Any test.
You just sent in a little piece of paper and they said, come on over?
I believe it took me about 15 minutes to complete the application, and I had no community service hours. And luckily, I did have leadership and played a sport. But the nice part is I got into both schools, and it was an easy decision because my father told me that if I went to San Diego State, he would pay for it, and if I went to Colorado, I was on my own.
Yeah. There you go.
And what do you think it cost in those days? I mean, you're not quite as old as I am. You're of a younger, you're more Rod's generation, the wannabe baby boomers. You're not quite there yet. But so what did it cost, roughly?
You know, I remember my dad sent me $1,000 a month, and that was room and board.
That was everything.
That was everything. And at the time, he never complained, but he did tell me that if I did not graduate in 4 years, I was on my own. So I went to summer school and winter session and unfortunately changed my major 5 times.
Sure, right.
Because
I
really did not know what it is that I wanted to do, and nobody had prepared me for that. I started as business finance, took accounting 101, and realized that was not my cup of tea.
And it wasn't like they were betting the whole family farm on this. I mean, I'm sure it was a bunch of money to your dad in those days.
Yes.
But it wasn't like he had to take out a second on the house and everything else to afford to do this. I'm a bit older. I'm in my 60s, as we say over and over again. I'm the target demographic for this show here. And when I went to college in 1974, the University of Michigan is as good a school as I could get to in those days. I think it was all of about $4,000 a year, which my dad was horrified. $4,000 a year? Oh, my goodness. You could get a car for $2,000. You know, this was a lot of money. So I worked in the summer. He got me a summer job working at car factories as he was a car executive. And then I used that to pay my room and board, and my dad paid the tuition. So maybe the whole thing was, you know, $6,000 or $8,000 for the whole thing. And like you, I wandered through it and came out and thought, okay, that was a nice experience. It was kind of just sort of an extension of going to high school, you know, just another thing to do. It wasn't like nowadays, it's a $100,000 loan. You better be pretty serious and pretty focused mm-hmm. when you come out. All right, so that's your experience. That's our experience. Now cut to, you have what, one child, two children?
I have two children. I have a son who just turned 23.
Okay.
And I have a daughter who will be 19 in July.
Okay.
And
so similarly, I have a daughter about just turned 25, so I'm a couple years older. All right, so continue.
So fast forward, after I graduated, I was fortunate enough to start with Procter & Gamble 4 days after I graduated.
Oh, wow.
Congrats.
Just jobs
wow.
waiting to come out. This is a bygone era now. People are just laughing and rolling their eyes right here.
When am I supposed to feel sorry for you?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So, I mean, I did go through an extensive interview process. It was not a walk in the park. But the nice part is there were plenty of opportunities.
There were jobs.
There were jobs. Mm-hmm. And they were looking for us. And
I remember those days.
Yeah.
I ended up graduating with a speech communication degree, and so thought I was going to go on to law school and realized that that was not where I wanted to be. I wanted to be with people in sales, and
right.
so
we got to keep you. A
you
little
weren't
bit
a good
in front
enough liar, right?
Oh,
I keep you a little bit in front of the mic.
Okay, sorry. And so you
speech
know,
communication. She's wandering in and out of the mic here. Okay,
yeah.
Didn't do radio. All right.
No radio. I was more into speech and debate, but regardless of that, I was relocated all the way back to Orange County and to Newport Beach. And I found out later on that one of the benefits of being somebody from California is that we do not understand that our cost of living is really, really high compared to the rest of the
United
States.
Yeah, we're
used to it. We definitely take that for granted.
Right.
So for Procter & Gamble, they did not have to compensate for that. And it worked out very nicely. I lived in Newport Beach. And fast forward on to that, I got married and then had my first child. I was doing 11 airports a month and realized that that wasn't the life that I wanted to lead. I left Procter & Gamble and started my own business as a professional photographer.
Hmm.
And I went back and got my master's degree.
Now I got to stop you again. So this is okay. the baby boomer story that we take for granted. I go to school for speech. Mm-hmm. I end up working for Procter & Gamble. And then I decide to become a photographer. Where's the connecting line between all that? Well, none of us have, though. I could give you the same story. I'm sure Deb could give you the same story here.
Absolutely.
Deb, you were like a – weren't you a beauty contestant? Or what were you? We missed somebody, yeah.
Pageants put me through college.
Yeah, right.
Literally. And I changed my major just like you 5 times. I wanted to be a forensic scientist. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't afford medical school. And so I decided, you know, health administration, which led to being a behavioral analyst for the State Department. And who knew? And then
careers. You were a behavioral analyst? I didn't know that.
Yes,
but for the State
yes,
Department.
For 10 years.
So what are you, like the CSI guys or the criminal minds that trying to figure out the minds of the bad guys here or something?
Actually, I worked in vocational rehabilitation for the California State Department.
Oh,
and
okay,
yes,
right.
And so I would analyze why people behave the way that they do with
they
working
do.
In with the different populations.
Yeah.
And then help place them back into the community, you know, after maybe a layoff or after a
substance abuse. And similarly, somewhere along the way, you got married and divorced, and suddenly you're a single mom.
Yes.
And same things here. I'm just trying. We're going to draw some
yes.
parallels here as we
yes.
go along here. To this
and
journey.
I moved to Orange County, and now have been a single parent living in Orange County for 18 years. So make a long story short, and that was And never lived in Orange County except for visiting to go to Disneyland and Legoland
right.
and SeaWorld
right.
with my kids. And so
I can tell you're not a native because Legoland's in San Diego.
Oh, yes.
I can tell you're not a native, but go ahead. All right.
Well, you know, Southern California, I should say. And, you know, it was just really, you know, but I picked Orange County, and I picked the area where we lived specifically for the Blue Ribbon schools, and
yes.
that going to college was not, you know, not going to college was not an option for
and
my
your
girls.
Parents never went to college
no,
either, so
no.
similarly, first of your
yes,
generation,
yes.
first in your family
coming
to go.
From immigrant families, and, you know, I, on both sides, and, you know, but it was mandatory. You're going to go to college, so I'm going to put you in the best school, so what if I'm a single parent? We're going to fake it till we make it, and you know, shoot to today, they are, you know, college graduates with honors, and...
I think that's right, Colleen, but keep going here. Let's see.
And Shelley, so I can really understand where there's a demand and there's a need on how to find scholarships, on how to find, you know, financial aid for single parents like myself. That was a job, you know, 100%, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day to get them through that.
Absolutely.
Well, similarly, I was the first of my family to ever go to college. My dad was an executive of Chrysler Corporation, but rose up in the old days when you could go from the factory floor to the corporate ranks without having a college degree.
Wow.
And so, you know, those days are long. So we're all kind of riding along. College, we all went to college because it was the first. We were sort of expected to do it. We flipped around, flopped around. Doesn't sound like any of us used our major. I was a political science and history major. None of us used our major, although I did do college radio. That's where I started a passion for this. All of us have been through relationships and kids
divorces.
And all this kind of stuff here going along. I missed that one. I missed the divorce phase here. But other than that, I'm sharing everything you guys are saying here. All right, so now cut to with the whole next life-changing event. Divorce and a kid has to go to college. And you got to handle this.
Absolutely. So really where it started is in eighth grade where the high school...
You started your divorce in eighth grade? You were getting married younger than I thought here. Okay, all right.
No.
Shoot back to eighth grade.
I met this guy in eighth grade.
No, that was college. The other things that happen in college. What I'm leading to is my son came home one day after the high school had come and spoke with the eighth graders. And he came home and he was very upset. And he said, I told the counselor that I wanted to go and be a surgeon. And the counselor said, why would you want to waste your time and money doing that? And my son was so upset.
Yikes.
Oh, I remember I wanted to be a forensic scientist. And they said, oh, but you're so cute. You should work for a hair salon or be a cosmetologist. Why would you want to shoot for that unreachable goal?
Oh, wow. Boy, you had some great college counselors in your
yeah.
schools here. They're trying to turn out factory workers and beauticians here
mm-hmm.
or something. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's really when I realized that I had to take a different approach and a different step into... I knew both my kids were going to go to college. There was not an option. I knew the benefits far outweighed the cost. And so at that point, I put everything. Basically, I worked on preparing for getting my son into a good college and, more importantly, how we were going to afford it from eighth grade on. And I will tell you, that was the best thing that ever happened because it truly takes that much preparation if you want to get a good college degree and you want to do it debt-free.
Okay.
Well, tell us how we do that, Shelley, please.
So the reality is this. Most people do not start thinking about college until their junior year. And then they panic because they didn't prepare. And now they haven't prepared financially. And so they're in a complete tailspin. So the best thing that you could do for your student is not only start talking about college as if it was just something part of growing up, but also take them on college tours. If you're in a geography or on a family vacation and you can just stop in and, you know, have lunch on a college campus and help them to see that this is something really special and it's an opportunity not given to everyone, but something to strive for, that starts the planning process. They start asking questions. They start exploring what they want to do. They really start to grow up and figure out what they're passionate about.
And
okay.
That's exactly what I did. I made it a road trip. Okay, we're going to go on a road trip, and I took them to the colleges. I mean, I can remember I did that starting in sixth grade. And they really loved it because they just thought it was a fun trip. Oh, and they just, and it really inspired them that that's where they wanted to be.
I'm going to try and move you ahead here. You're taking a long way to get to the main punchline here, and that is, okay, so you got your kid's going to go to school. Deb says that's the given. You're going to get them thinking about it, and whatever the college counselors say, you're going to push this and you're going to do it. But that's not the problem. The problem isn't getting the kids to go to school. The problem is, how are you going to pay for it? Because college is not $4,000 a year anymore.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that brings me to the main point of the book that I wrote, of the business that I own. And it's helping students understand that anybody can truly go to college. It is not something that you can say, we can't afford it. The reality is, everybody can afford it if you plan properly. And in my book, How to Send Your Student to College Without Losing Your Mind or Your Money, I spend a whole chapter on the importance of planning and how to know what colleges are looking for, the GPA, the test scores, the leadership, the community service. The key to getting a free education is planning, and being focused on the end result.
No, it doesn't. You don't have to have a genius. You don't have to have a high-performing academic or athletic student. You're saying just the average kid with enough planning can somehow get support or money to go to school?
Absolutely. Desire is the key. If the parent has desire and the student does not, that is not going to be the plan.
Yeah, clearly. Okay, but again, I got to challenge that. Lots of people with desire out there listening, oh, I want to go, my kid wants to go. They don't know how to pay for it. It's unaffordable.
Yeah, and as a single parent, it was impossible. I basically taught my kids that, you know, you're going to get it with through the grades. You're going to get those scholarships, and you're going to have a 4.0. And made sure, you know, through tutors and mentoring that they did that. And that, I feel like, was the only way that, you know, got them
through.
And did
your kids get scholarships?
Yes, they did. Full scholarships.
Okay, that's amazing. Because I hear full scholarships are shrinking, that schools don't have the endowments.
Well,
and the dough to do it as much as they used
to. The first daughter, she actually got accepted at Chapman University, Stanford.
And some real no-name
yes,
schools. Like that.
Yes. Okay. And then I started looking at the cost.
Yeah.
OMG. Okay. Well, maybe something more local.
Yeah.
You know, let's
maybe
stick
community
to,
college. Yeah. Yeah. Community college.
And actually, I did send her to Saddleback Community College, and she got a 4.0. And through there, she got scholarships from Arnold Schwarzenegger, Rush Limbaugh, through Saddleback, right here.
They had programs that she applied to.
Yes, programs that she applied to.
And that's your point, I think,
yeah.
is that you're saying, Shelley, is that there's more money out there than you think it is.
You've
got to know how to find it and go after it.
Yes. And we did. We just...
The key is realizing a couple of things. First, that 1% of students get an athletic full ride scholarship.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's small.
So it's definitely not the plan you want to take.
Right.
Number two.
And can I stop you for one second? What my daughter was did not go to college because she didn't have the desire to do it really, even though we pushed. And she didn't have school struggled for her whole life. We adopted her, and she was 10 or 11, I could go through the whole story, but she really just struggled for school her whole life. All right, accepting that, we thought, like many parents, she was very gifted athletically, and mm-hmm. she got on the varsity program in basketball, of all things. And I remember every parent there thinking, this is the answer, please, God, this is the answer. And parents would literally say, well, I'm not going to go through that because there's more of them in lacrosse and there's less people competing in lacrosse or water polo or something. And parents were using, that was the whole plan, find some obscure sport, especially if it was a girl, because there was there were more scholarships for girls in these obscure sports because of Title IX and they have to comply and have equal number of scholarships in both sexes and all these things. That was the plan. And you're saying a bad plan.
That is a bad plan. The best way to use athletics or somebody who has talent is to get them in front of recruiters, because that recruiter can take that student's college application and hand deliver it to the right people. But keep in mind that only income-generating sports such as football or basketball really is where they're going to get the full-ride scholarships. Women's golf actually right now is the number one unused scholarship.
Women's golf. Women's golf. There you go. There's one I wouldn't have thought of.
So if there's a family out there who has a passion for golf, that is a really great plan. It is not the same for men, unfortunately. It's a very saturated sport, but you need to have an income-generating sport. So the obscure ones that don't create money for the college, there's no money to give. So, you know, so after
for
you
men
look,
and for women, is for, that true? Even though they have, because they do have this Title IX restriction that they have to come up with scholarships for girls and treat women's athletics equally, even though it doesn't generate any cash for them.
Correct. And so it is a little bit different in that respect.
Some things never change.
Yeah. Women's water polo is been getting some really great full ride scholarships. I have a student at UC Berkeley on a full ride for women's water polo. And so it's still possible, but they're exceptional. They're okay. Just not, you know, the average.
So better than that. Is what?
Okay, so really what it comes down to is every student has their gifts and talents, and you just have to focus on what that is. So if you have an academic student, obviously the GPA and the test scores can get them a full ride.
Like Deb's daughter.
Yeah, my son got a full ride to Harvard, so he graduated in 4 years.
Harvard, okay. Wow, you just won up to Chapman and Stanford here.
Yes.
Harvard, okay.
So he
we're not going to talking about the College of the Ozarks or something here, right?
No.
Nothing
so,
against that. Don't call me here, right?
So he worked the plan that I put in place, and he worked really hard. I give him full credit. I did not take the test. I did not show up to class. I just guided him, and he absolutely gave it 110%. He ended up going to Harvard, graduating in 4 years, graduated last May. And
congratulations.
Thank you. He's working for a consulting company in New York right now called Bain Consulting.
Oh, yeah. Bain.
Which is
okay.
His very first job.
That's Romney's old firm here. Right. Okay.
And he's living his dream. He just got accepted to UC San Diego and will start medical school in the fall.
Wow.
So, you know.
So let's go back a second. Okay, so you're showing us there's a path, both of you here. And in both of the cases, you're talking about some sort of academic scholarship. But here's what I hear over and over again. Unlike the days when we all were going, you took a test, you got a score, you got a scholarship. You got some grades. Okay, that's good. You got a scholarship. Now, as somebody once told me, they sat in that seat and they said, all these kids at Harvard have A's and top SATs. That's just the ante to get in the game here. Now you got to have community service and you got to have projects. You have to have cured cancer and you're
a cause.
Yeah, a cause. Mm-hmm. And you went out around the world and
joined pageants.
Yeah, right. You got to do something big and have lots of other big credentials behind you besides academics and scores.
Yeah, so talk about some of those angles that we could recommend to parents out there.
Or obstacles, you know. It isn't just getting the good grades.
Well, that's absolutely true. And because not every student is similar, we at College Ready put together an individual strategic plan for them to be successful at what they're good at. Because it's not competing with others, it's making that student the best they can possibly be to get in the best match college. Because not every student should attend an Ivy League. Not every student should attend a specific name school.
And so you make a customized fit.
Exactly.
Perfect.
So what we focus on is obviously their GPA and their rigor needs to be in their academic strengths. You don't want to put them in rigor that is not their gift. It will just completely slow their process down. Test scores, test prep is so critical, and everybody learns absolutely different. So finding the exact kind of prep for that student is so important.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because with my daughters, like I said, I had to have tutors. Although they were very smart academically, they would totally freeze up during tests.
A lot of people do, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's an art to take.
And I was like, is that in the genes? I was the same way.
Test anxiety is very real. And colleges know that if a student has a super high GPA and a low test score, it's either one of two things. The school has grade inflation or the student has test anxiety.
Right.
On the flip side, if a student has a very high test score and low GPA, it's a lazy, gifted student. Mm. So we have to have a plan that...
Why is everybody looking at me when you say lazy, gifted student here? Right.
Yeah, so we have to have a specific testing plan, when to take it, how to take it. Are they going to super score? Are they not? Are they going to take IB, AP, subject tests? It's not anything like it used to be, and it's hard for parents to understand.
Because there are lots. You just rattled off a bunch of tests. It's not just the SAT anymore. All right. But go beyond that, because that's what amazes me. So, all right, so you did that. You got a, whatever a super high score is or something. It used to be 700 or something out of an 800 was a perfect score. Anything over 650 or 600 was considered in the top couple percent. I don't know what the test scores range now, because I know they're scored there like 1,200 or 1,300, 1,500 or something. But beyond that, assume I got a good score. Assume I got a 4.0. I could do more.
Right. And keep in mind, I have students all over the world, and every culture values education differently.
That's for sure.
So I will tell you that people outside of the United States have a very strong desire to get their student into the United States.
Big time.
And they will do whatever it takes. My students outside the U.S., they go to school year-round. There is no summer break. There's no winter break. They are going for the 5.0 GPA and the perfect test score. Yeah. So how do we compete with that? We compete by having a community service project that that student has passion for, and they see a need in the world, the community, the region, and they create their own community service project. They lead it. They build it. It's like owning their own business. They get people involved. That's the kind of thing that the people in the United States have a little bit different. And the third thing is leadership. Leadership is such a critical piece to the college application. And that could come from simple things like ASB. It could come from a sport. It can come from music. It can come from community service or leading a club or organization. But you can't just go to school and get good grades anymore.
That's the key. You can't.
It's got to be the whole package.
Say that again. You can't just go to school and get good grades anymore if you want to be part of the elite package and if you want to qualify for money.
Right. So that's the key right there. Anybody can truly go to college if they have the desire, but getting the money, you have to have a strategic plan. You can't just go and take classes and get grades and test scores. You have to have a lot more than that to be competitive for the financial packages.
Let's take a quick break because Rod just walked in. I wanted to get caught up with all this stuff here, and then we'll come back and join Rod into the conversation. Stick around. You're listening to The Rad Life right here on Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net.
If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest. Hire.
All right, we're walking in front of the cameras. We're doing everything today here wrong, but we've got Rod Gontos joined us, ladies and gentlemen, the late, great Rod Gontos.
Why am I the late great? Wow.
He's still alive.
Wow, yeah, my computer died. I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Jesus. You know, excuse me for taking the Lord's name in vain there for a second. But, I mean, you know, Paul, seriously? You just like that? I mean,
you're
if you're going to, you know,
great,
listen, if you're going to do that, I have some expectations. I expect to walk into the studio and there's at least a wreath or a memorial of some sort on my chair, right? Something hanging on the mic. But,
that's right.
But just like, just like that?
You just took it the wrong way.
I know it's a boomer.
You're great.
It's a boomer show, and we talk about the fact that our seniors and our boomers are not disposable.
And they're getting a little forgetful. Wow.
Just think of it as a comeback.
You know what? I'm just ignoring him. Hello, ladies.
The great comeback. Welcome back.
So let me summarize where we're at, and then you can jump in. So the two women had been just exchanging notes. They had similar lives, both Deb and Shelley. First people in their family to go to school, changed majors 12 times, came out, lots of jobs, no big deal. College wasn't that expensive. Everybody could do it. And all of a sudden, then they're single moms and trying to get their kids through school, and they're like, you got to have really good grades or really good athletics or really good something to get in. And then that's just to compete. Then you got to have community projects, and you got to have cured cancer in the summer
months.
And how many bake sales did you have to do for all that extra stuff that's needed for the schools?
Oh,
because the schools are all suffering
but
from
both
lack of
them
funding
succeeded.
And certain things that
I didn't
really
realize. Deb's daughter graduated from, was it Chapman?
UC San Diego.
And
with honors,
full scholarship, and now has this high-powered job, and is getting married this summer to a high-powered guy.
Yeah. She works for Sunset Gower's studio productions.
Cool,
Shonda Rhimes.
I know, very familiar with that. And then Shelley's son made it on a full. And your daughter got a full ride. Shelley's daughter got our son got a full ride at Harvard. And is now going to medical school, been accepted at medical school, and they're going to tell us all how easy it is to do this, and that anybody can do it. I think they're the one in a million. They're the lottery winners.
Yeah,
here.
If a single parent with nothing can, put her girls through college.
Well, but how early did you guys start down that path? I mean, it's
don't start that. She started in eighth grade.
Yeah, sixth grade.
No, I'm not talking about the path of life. I'm talking about the path of financing something like this or preparing to get somebody like with your kids or your son where it's a full ride. I mean, you know, some people that are listening going, oh, cool, because we live in a very, very instantaneous gratification society. Mm-hmm. So you're telling somebody this is possible. I think it's also important to say this isn't possible in the 11th hour if you come
Absolutely.
In and say, oh, yeah, look, I'm
and
you know,
she's,
next,
and
next
she's
fall
made a
I'm
business.
Registering.
Yeah.
How do I get this to happen?
And she's made a business about it. That's
right.
The whole point.
I mean, now 70% of all students have a college consultant like myself.
70%.
Oh, that is awesome.
That's amazing. So actually, it's very good.
Yeah, so if you don't have that, your child's competing with their own private coach, basically, and it's going to make it that much more difficult. So college consultant, I actually went back to school to UC San Diego to get my certification for college consulting because I lived it as a parent. I wanted the academic side, and now I've been doing it 7.5 years professionally, and every single year getting into college changes, either a SAT score or what's necessary. So you constantly have to be planning and preparing.
Well, and the costs change as well.
And let's talk about this because I think a lot of people may think erroneously that this is something that is limited to Ivy League, we're name dropping Ivy League schools or things like that, right? My wife is actually the, I'm going to get this wrong. The director,
you're going to get in trouble if you
I am. I'm always in trouble. Yeah. The director of admissions to the Graduate College of Education at Cal State Long Beach, and this is a state school, but it's a large state school with a very large cohort every year that they graduate. But still, in those individual disciplines, there's certain finite number of seats. So I'm bringing that up because a lot of people say, well, it's a luxury. When you're saying 70% of people, I mean, I don't think there's 70% of people that actually have financial planners.
No.
Right?
Or
health coaches.
Or health
right.
coaches, like,
right.
or fitness, whatever.
Yeah,
fitness.
I literally took classes at night to learn how to apply for scholarships for my daughter, both for financial
Amazing.
Aid and scholarships.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's my third job.
So there's a finite number of entry seats. Call it, in a lot of this stuff, including public universities. And so you need that assistance in order to increase your chances of being able to get in, whether it is paid or full ride or whatever. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think the wow that Paul reacted is I think that a lot of people would say wow when you tell them that statistic, but it's totally understandable.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing she brought up earlier that I'll just reignite here is most of these schools, because they've lost funding from states, are turning more and more to foreign students who are paying double
top
the rent.
Absolutely.
Top dollar.
Absolutely.
And those foreign kids come over, as Rod can attest to. They come over, they're the best of the best.
Come over as a foreign kid.
Don't be
labeling
poor
me.
Poor little immigrant kid that came
keep
over.
Keep your Midwest white labels to yourself, okay? No, but it's true because in many cases, people that are coming from overseas, either they own personally can fund a higher tuition rate, or they are basically sponsored by agencies or companies or governments in some cases that do that. And those are very lucrative students for a lot of schools that are struggling for tuition, you know, and qualified, and they're qualified, and the likelihood of them basically actually excelling and succeeding and graduating in a timeline that basically reflects positively on the school, and all these things factor in.
They'll be executed back home if they don't, you know. That's a flip statement.
You really just need to stop listening to so much news. I told you last time. I said,
watch the Fox every night.
I need you to have a two-hour decompress and detox before the show. No news on Google. No news on YouTube.
How about Fox? Fox is very important.
How do you spell it? FAUX?
Oh, I like that. I'm going to use that one. FAUX.
Okay, so anybody who's listened to the show knows that we cross over into that territory every once in a while. But going back to this, okay, that is actually also part of that competition you're talking about.
Right.
Because kids are really
And more and more, those are very – it's hard to ignore those possibilities. That's why, actually, there was a lot of outcry when there was the issue, just to cross over into the political side for a minute, when the ban and sort of the visas restrictions and stuff like that.
School screened.
University
of Washington.
It had a direct bottom line effect.
Yeah, they were one of the litigants in Washington, the University of Washington school system.
You're cutting public funding, and then you're basically saying you can't get these resources coming from different revenue streams. And it's like, well, wait a minute. So
her job now is to find a way to compete. And I hate to say it, you probably do help some of those foreign kids too.
I was going to ask. So are you actually consulting with people that
Yeah, I have students all over the world, and it's a very different,
interesting
culture. Most cases than we're used to here. We have a lot more entitlement than a lot of the students that I work with overseas.
Expand on that a little bit.
Our students feel like their parents are supposed to pay for them. It's just it's something that they believe is owed to them.
That's here.
Yeah, that's here.
See, you would think the opposite.
I hate to admit it. I was one of those.
Yeah.
When I went to college in 1974.
They had college?
They had college. Just the starting, just the early days.
Started building them.
Did you scribe on tablets?
Yeah, we did. Socrates was my first teacher. So I went, I'm getting ready to go to college. Never had a job in my life. Lived out in an affluent suburb of Detroit. My dad is an executive. All my friends' fathers were executives of car companies or suppliers or something. And everybody's getting a car to graduate, and they're all getting full to go into some private school. I gave my dad easy. I'm going to the in-state school. I'm going to Michigan. It's half of what it was. I was accepted at Notre Dame. I could have gone there. That was twice or three times as much. So I'm going to give Dad an easy.
You see how he's name dropping?
He could have been there.
He had to get in there.
I could have been a contender. So I go to Michigan.
You're a radio jock, and you know from way back. Give me a friggin' break.
That's true. Wannabe.
And my dad takes me aside after I graduate. It's like a month or two before I'm supposed to go to Michigan. He says, "How are you going to pay for this?" I laughed. I said, "How am I going to pay for it? Look around, Dad. We're doing good. How am I going to pay for it? How are you?" That's not even my thought. He said, "Well, I never went to college. You know that. Worked my way up from the ghetto to upper ranks and fought hard. I think if you don't pay for some of it, you won't appreciate it." My dad and I fought like hell. My friends thought he was Attila the Hun. He was the most cruel man in the world.
So what happened?
He got me a job working in... He said, I knew this was going to come as a shock to you. So I said, how am I going to make a money, Dad? Working at the ice cream store down the street or being a lifeguard?
Isn't there a printer down in the basement that you basically churned this stuff out?
So my dad said, I took that into account, so I know I'm shocking. I've got your job working in the factories. And I don't want to sound too Midwest and white and everything, but there's black people down there. I've never seen any of this down there. This is a ghetto. I've never been down there. This is way down there. We live out here. And my dad said, I know, that's where I started, and I think that'll help educate you, too. So I got you a job working at the factory in the summers, and you can make, like, $4,000, you know, which is a lot of money. And
all how much was tuition at the time?
Tuition was $4,000. Mm-hmm. So, and then the expenses were $3,000 or $4,000. So,
so your dad still took care of it. He got you a job.
He got me a job, which was, I thought, the cruelest thing that was the best thing he could ever do. But we fought like hell. We didn't talk for a long time. I was mad
you
as
You took
hell.
It as punishment?
I took it as punishment. Oh, yeah. And then when I had to go drown it into the ghetto and work in these factories, and I'm the only, you know, little white suburban kid in the ranks. Oh, my God.
He keeps talking about, I'm from Michigan and you're Detroit and, you know, blues and all this stuff. And, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know, he's pretty cosmopolitan. And then you hear something like that and you're like, you know, did you come out of the suburbs at all?
Never.
He did come out of the dark, though.
Well, I was for it. I'm not going there.
I was for it. I could talk for it, but it was the most eye-opening thing. But I had to. So I had that sense of entitlement.
Yeah. But you see what you present interesting. Interestingly, is that even back then?
Yeah, 70s.
There are certain some of these sort of
duty.
Inherent things that are in the culture.
Yeah, well, as the first college graduate in my family, for my girls, not going to college was not an option.
Yeah.
Failure was not an option.
Right.
And as a single parent mom, I can't afford it. I can't pay for it. So you're going to get excellent grades, and you're going to pull yourself through this.
Did they ever resent that? Did they ever question that?
Yes, absolutely, they did.
Sure.
But
other kids don't have
very,
to do this.
Yeah,
other kids are paying for it.
They're buying them new boobs and new cars. why do I have to work and why do I have to get such
Ladies
great
Ladies and gentlemen,
grades?
We are coming to you live from Orange County, California.
Thank you. That Orange County entitlement. No, I moved you here because as a single parent.
Where fantasy is not limited to Disneyland.
No, I wanted you to go to Blue Ribbon Schools.
And we're all laughing.
In a safe neighborhood so that you can get to go to college and give me the life I'm not accustomed to.
We are laughing, but not that many years ago, there was a front page story, and I think it was Orange County here, maybe I'm wrong, where a mother said, you know, rather than give you college, I'm going to give you her daughter new boobs, because that'll do more for you than giving you a college
Oh, I've
education.
Heard that story over
yeah,
and over
and
right
just,
here.
Who didn't? She said,
unfortunately.
Wasn't that a study funded by UCI? I'm not picking on UCI.
I don't
okay.
know, right.
But
OC so, Plastic Surgeon Society.
Do we have a sponsorship here?
Yes.
But really, no, I grew up overseas, okay? And no, I did not come here as a foreign student, but we were naturalized. We had our green cards at the time, but I did not. There was no option that you wouldn't go to college.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that you even resisted. It was totally acceptable. Like, you knew the level of education that you would achieve would have a direct correlation with how much at least you would be able to sustain a comfortable way of
and
life.
You went to some pretty
to
fancy
provide.
Schools too. You went in Switzerland to
yeah.
some school, and then you came here and you
and
went
I think
to
your dad, I think
Claremont.
I think your dad did you a great favor, because I think there's certain key moments in life where something like that yeah. being instilled. And I think it's an interesting, I think, duality that parents have to deal with. I don't know that as a parent at all. I don't have my own kids, but I would think
you
that
have some other kids though that you're watching.
Yeah, but that's a different topic.
Let's
for
not
another
go
show.
There.
All right.
It's
yeah,
okay. It's
my
okay. It's my they're my nephews.
It.
It's my nephews. It's not like I have this yeah. little entourage of children that chase me down the street.
Shh,
Paul. Okay.
Well, like I said, my kids, although they did regret it, they are very thankful. And
well, now,
every time
yeah, I'm
I
sure.
see them, now that they're in their career positions and their successful status, you know, that they're achieving, they thank me.
Did your dad make you pay for any of this, or did he?
He didn't. I didn't. To be completely honest, I did not pay for my undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I went to graduate school, and also that was covered. But I had a shift in direction when I went to design versus business,
right?
And when I went to design, there was an aspect of me that I said, I want to do this for myself enough that I want to pay for it.
Mm. Good.
In order to know that I am committed to it.
Yes, right.
Okay. Now, it was later on in life. It was, you know, I went to college when I was 16. All right.
You went to college when you were 16?
I graduated high school at 16.
I got a bunch of brilliant kids here.
Right? And so I'm coming out of college with an undergrad in economics at the age of 20. Okay? I mean, not to be crass, but I probably just about know how to wipe my ass at that point.
Right? Yeah,
nothing else, right? And then also, you know, imagine I'm overseas. it's a 300 person college that I went to for my undergrad, right? And now I'm going to the United States, and where do I land? I land in Cal State Bakersfield. Okay? I land in Cal State Bakersfield as a person who's living on campus. Right. So my dorm was at the end of the college, my room was at the end of the dorm, and pretty much there was nothing other than the desert after
right where the farm rows
start. Yeah, and the flatland boonies.
Pretty much, right? I mean, there was a strip of concrete out there that people hung out on and drag raced. Okay? And there were people hanging out. Right. So it was a pretty interesting. But nothing prepares you for this stuff, mm-hmm. right? So I give my hats are off for people, whether they are from the United States, that are maybe first in their families to go to college, or people that this is a major thing, a major adjustment for them, both financially and just state of mind, right? Or people that are basically coming from overseas. Or even people that go from here, let's say, and spend it like time in Europe in a university where there's a language situation, there's all this stuff. So I completely agree. I think, how do you navigate those waters unless somebody who knows about the nuances is there to guide you?
Well, yeah, and it constantly is changing. That's the main point is that's why it's a career. I always kind of tell people, you could do your own taxes.
Yeah.
And you could hire an accountant, and they would help guide you and lead you and save you a lot
of money. What
happened
this year in terms of regulations that you're not aware of?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. I'm kind of the same thing.
I help people.
My main client is a very busy working mother. Mm-hmm. She is doing her career. She's providing for her family. She does not have the time to give another part time of her to do this.
Full time. It's a full time job.
Like Deb said, it was her third job.
Yeah, it was my third job.
Yeah, literally. And it was mine as well. And I will tell you that I spend at least an hour to 2 hours a day learning just the new stuff every single day. Mm-hmm. So unless you are fully immersed, I mean, you know, USC just raised their cost of tuition to $72,000.
And $72,000.
Parents,
that's per year or for 4 years?
No, that's per year.
Per 1 year, $72,000 plus living in books and other things.
So
right?
why I bring
so
that
your
up?
Your expertise is a benefit to them, versus having to do it on their own, like I did, and having it as a third job.
So let's continue on that path.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So knowing this, one of my students, her dream school was USC. Mm-hmm. But she was straight from Mexico and had a very rough upbringing. Somebody ended up adopting her, and
like
she just
daughter.
Received
a
full ride to USC this year.
Wow.
I found out by reading about her in the newspaper, and I called her. I said, Kathy, why didn't you tell me? She goes, I'm still in shock. Like, I never thought that this would be an opportunity for me, because she didn't have the finances. She didn't have the family support. She had nothing except for me. Her parents who had taken care of her, her adopted parents, I went to high school with. They called me and they said, we don't know what to do for her. Please help her. And she followed exactly the plan I put together.
So what did you advise her?
Well, her gifts and talents are very different. She is a very shy person. Mm-hmm. And so we had to work kind of through the back door, if you will. She wasn't a huge leader. She wasn't the typical, you know, star of the sports team. So we had to work a community service project that absolutely knocked the socks off of her. And her grades were solid and her test scores were solid, but her essay was phenomenal. I laughed, I cried,
lived it and breathed it in order to understand and then articulate it.
Which and you taught her how to articulate that.
Right. Correct.
But so
that's awesome.
So there's an underlying or an undertone to that story or that share, and that is that, and I saw it quickly when I was looking at your company website, is not everybody is the same.
Absolutely.
And in fact. And we know this sort of instinctively, maybe in the field of business or in the field, you know, that you have to have a competitive edge. You have to have a unique value proposition that you're offering. It is no different for both getting the attention that is rightfully yours, right, but also to find ways to amplify that.
And she talked about that. We all learn differently.
Yes.
Right, but I mean, it's not. It's, it goes.
I like where Rod's going because
I think
it isn't just for the gifted.
It goes beyond
yeah.
learning.
I see.
Okay,
that.
And I think that kind of coaching, regardless whether you get into your the university of choice or that particular then goal, I think getting in touch with that side of somebody's DNA, kind of, if you will, that their programming, is something that they carry with them for the rest of their lives.
You're really
allowing that person to amplify that thing that makes them them,
right,
in a manner that maybe in this guided towards an academic goal. But I don't think you lose that. If somebody points out that these are the right. things that you're yeah. passionate about in life, you might, through that journey, find that, well, maybe it's not USC that I want to go to, because now I have been gotten in touch with this, and you know, I realized that that's not the right place for me. This is the right place for me. And in the course of doing that, that coaching, that's something that they take with them for the rest of their life.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the main things I help parents understand is, as a parent, the student hears, clean your room, do this, do that, do your homework,
and
so on and so forth.
That the parents have.
And what I bring is I'm their mentor. I'm their coach.
Yeah.
I'm on their side.
Yeah.
And I always ask a very simple question when I'm – because I don't take every student. And if a student has no self-motivation, that's not a good equation.
You're not
for
there
success.
To be a drill sergeant.
But they never, but they never tell you they don't have self-motivation.
Oh, I know.
So how do you know?
Well, here's a very simple way I find out. I ask the student very simply. I say, can you give me 10 things you're passionate about?
Uh-huh.
And they can either rattle it off, or I had one student, Siri, what am I passionate about?
Oh, no. Typical of today's times.
But you know what? Hold on. I'm sorry. Typical of today's times.
Sign of the
times. And expectations that this is what's going to happen is actually something we shouldn't feel irritated about. We should be very sad about.
Because
people have gotten to the point where they are not encouraged to explore that in their own way, to fit the mold or follow certain paths, okay, as being the only way. And there's a reason why people, I think, not maliciously say, you know, follow this path or follow that path, because the chances of success in those paths are sort of higher.
Right.
But it's not a one-size-fits-all. And a lot of people actually spend a lot of time, I think, and go down career path. I remember when I was at Claremont Graduate School, Peter Drucker used to say that on average, a person basically changes career paths 5 times in their life, right?
Talk about dropping names.
Yeah, well, you know what? When you pulled Notre Dame out of there, like a good Irish boy that you are, I had to come back with that. So there you go.
Hey, only got a couple minutes left.
Yeah, but you help out to bring those passions sometimes maybe they didn't know they had.
Most of the time.
That they wouldn't talk to their parents about.
Correct.
So there's an education that happens actually for the parent when the child is going through this process too, right? Because there's certain expectation that parent may have.
Right. Both student and parent, and they don't talk about it.
Exactly.
That's the sad part. Right. A student will tell me things like they want to be an artist that they would never want to tell their parent.
Because that would be a disappointment maybe to what their parent had in mind.
Right. Yeah.
So that brings sad up, that is still very much something that happens in
that
our
brings
society.
Up my last question, and we're going to have to wrap this up pretty quick because unfortunately today I can't go that much over because I got another show coming up here. But does everybody have to go to college?
No. And I will tell you.
Good question.
Good question.
In my book, I address this specifically. I believe everybody is unique and has their own talents. And the most important thing is every student should try a class in college because it's so different from high school that I would love for everybody to at least explore one thing of interest and take a class that they want to be in. But there are plenty of people, my father and my mother included, who are self-made, very well off, educated on the streets, they call them. But it is difficult. If you look at times of recession, the first people to lose their job
are the ones that are not
educated.
And I did, use that option with my children at Saddleback Community College. There's Kids College. And I had them since seventh grade, start taking classes during the summer there.
I'm familiar with it. It's a great program.
So let me just say this. I don't know that it's actually academia, per se, okay, that I'm hearing that everybody should be encouraged to pursue. I think everybody should be encouraged to pursue continuously learning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wherever that may be, whether it's from a mentor or an apprenticeship or something. I mean, you said it yourself. Every day you spend an hour basically expanding your knowledge base, right?
Lifelong learning.
That's something that you are passionate about. And I think that's really where the crux of the matter is. You should continue to learn find what you're passionate about, find it as early as you can, try to, because there's a lot of things that work against you in getting there, and then basically continue to grow and learn. Because I think what happened with me when I went to design school, and when it wasn't the paying for the degree that basically motivated me, it was the fact that I ended up, I went down this path on a lark. It was literally a summer certificate program because I wanted to be out of the house for 12 weeks, right? Next thing I know, I'm doing another undergraduate. And every semester, for the first time in my life, I was actually raising the bar on myself. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because I was trying to prove anything to somebody else, but it was trying to push and see how far I can push myself. And I went through the I couldn't design myself out of a paper bag for a minute, you know, and stuff like that. And that is something I tell people, never deny yourself the uniqueness of your own story. Never rob yourself of the uniqueness of your own story, because a lot of people do that. And they do it because of peer pressure, because of, you know, feelings of disappointing their parent or whatever was important in their lives. So I think that aspect of it is very important. And I will say this, because I think I would like to have you come back and do a show on this.
And bring a student with you.
No,
that's out. Okay. What a great idea.
No,
that's out.
No, it's a great idea, but it's out. Okay, look, you know what? I'll rephrase that.
A success story. No, a student bring that, a stu- like the one you
No,
mentioned
bring
earlier.
A student that is a senior or a baby boomer. Because we keep talking about this being a life's journey, right? Yeah. And
that's
the learning.
Right.
And somehow society says, you get out with your undergraduate or maybe it's a master's degree, and okay, you're done.
Education's
over. We're okay with you not learning anymore. But the reality is, you got people that are retired or people that basically have lost their jobs because they're not the youngest person or the cheapest person to retain. Now they find themselves in a situation where the 401k is down, their property taxes, or their property is not as valued as it was maybe 7 or 8 years ago, although the property values are coming back up.
I'm getting depressed.
I need to go back to work. You're a perfect example. Except
I know. I'm the example this whole show.
But you actually went down a path of entrepreneurship, which was always part of your DNA ingrained.
Right.
So, and Shelley, you do help people, you know, say 50 plus that do have that interest.
You're going to help some old fart like me go back to college here?
For them as well?
Well, I don't know that there's a market there per se, but I want to explore
see,
that, right?
Because I would love that, too.
Because I'll tell you what's happening is I know places like, for example, at Stanford, I'm not name dropping, it's just that they have the money to be innovative in this thing, where they're actually building, it's not assisted living, but retirement communities around their campuses.
I've heard that.
To
draw
back their alumni onto their campuses.
I love that.
So if you're drawing back your alumni onto the campuses so that basically I don't have to travel across the country to see the team play or whatever, boutique hotels popping up. There's a person who was here, Craig, that we're doing that radio show with that's launching on the 24th. They're basically doing a boutique hotel of about 60 beds or so. It's like $400, $500 a night near Stanford. So that demographic is being catered to in the
come back
to learning.
You know, it's funny you say
it's
that.
Bridge,
so how do we do that? How does that encore career, that change of path? Because you know what, I worked in finance for 40 years, but I have a passion for something else, like fine arts or literature or maybe archaeology or something like that, and I have the means to maybe explore that now versus feel like I have to raise a family. So where do I go? Because it's the same reality, right?
Absolutely.
You still have limited seats.
Or I could
seats.
Be a forensic scientist
yeah.
now.
And how I could get back into that.
But yeah, they're doing that.
It's funny you say
they're
that because
they're bringing back people.
In my
and
alumni
it's smart.
Newsletter at Michigan, I just read last issue that they're converting some old apartments down.
From the classroom to the grave. It's not from the cradle to the grave anymore.
Yeah. You're talking about Stanford. They're trying to create housing to attract retirees to come back. And the appeal is you can learn something again.
Well, because we talk about it in terms of senior
just
programming it's not a senior center anymore. It's a wellness center. It's not where I go to the doctor only when I need to,
or I
have to. It's an active lifestyle with preventive lifestyle habits. So that's what they're doing in campuses.
So you're saying in my 60s, as I retire from this, or 70s. I can go back to the University of Michigan from whence I started.
Well, you have an affinity to where you went because there's a positive memory for you.
Yeah.
And I can go back
on
to
those hash bashes.
I can relive the hash bash again.
you probably could with a medical marijuana card, actually. Right? So you don't have to look over your shoulder or smoke or in the corridor next to the
Shelley, why don't you go ahead and give us your website, give us your book, because I know you're a best-selling author as well.
Yes.
So go ahead and wrap that up.
Absolutely. So I ended up being challenged by my son when he graduated from Harvard. He said, Mom, you said you were going to write a book to help parents who didn't think this was possible. And I honestly let it go for about 4 or 5 years. So this past year, I wrote my first book, and it's How to Send Your Student to College Without Losing Your Mind or Your Money. And it basically gives everything you need to do in order to get your student into college and do it debt-free. And it's a step-by-step book. It is a number one Amazon bestseller, and you can go on Amazon and purchase it from there. Or you can go to my website, which is collegereadyplan.com, and you can purchase it straight from the website.
And we'll share the link to the Amazon on our because I know a lot of people. I mean, my nephew's just going finished St. Anne's, and he's going to St. Margaret Rancho Santa Margarita actually for high school, and they went up for Future Problem Solvers up in San Jose for the state finals, and he toured like Facebook and Apple and Stanford, and I'm like, dude, when I was your age, I was thinking, where's summer and what board shorts am I going to wear for the next 2 months?
I tricked my kids.
It's fascinating.
I took them on road trips to the colleges.
Well, but I mean, here's a reflection of somebody who's basically going from middle school to
that's
high
why
school.
Why we're here doing radio?
You can't really say everybody's the same.
No.
You know, I hear a lot of negativity about millennials, for example. Everything from lack of motivation or whatever. I don't necessarily think that you can ever pigeonhole anybody as a category.
I totally agree.
No,
yeah.
They have gifts that keep me on top of my game and, you know, looking young and smart and fast-paced.
But most of them are worthless.
come on, baby boomer. Get it out of your system.
I mean, that's just a fact.
No constipation for you today.
Come on. Baby boomer.
Hey, the other fact is, unfortunately, we've got to wrap up. I know Rod likes to wander.
Thank you so much, Shelly Howard. You were awesome. And very inspiring.
And please accept the invitation to come back. I really want to explore that one.
That would be a fascinating follow-up.
And you know, go take a look. I mean, because I know it sounded like maybe this thing, like for some of these colleges, what they're doing as far as real estate development stuff is sort of not really necessarily on your radar screen right now. Maybe look into it. Because where does that go? I mean, you're talking about 10 years. You know, you go to college for 4, you know, maybe 6, it depends, mm-hmm. right? But this is 10 years. This is somebody who basically has thought they had maybe 5 years. Now they realize they have 10 years, right?
30 years. 30 years. Yeah.
I mean, 100 yeah. being 100 years old is not an off thing anymore, right?
Right.
And so what do I do then? You know, I'm going to sit at home, play solitaire, or go play golf.
I'll be that forensic scientist I always dreamed of being.
I mean, you could literally have a second career of about 7 to 10 years.
Absolutely.
Doing something you're passionate about.
Yep.
Well, we're very passionate about having the show. Thank you for being here.
And my pleasure.
Please come back.
We look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you.
Take us out, Paul.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.